As the country ponders its deepening fiscal crisis, the topic of Social Security often comes up. One economist studying the demographic trends of the U.S. and what those trends might mean for the future of Social Security. Joining us with his outlook is Jagadish Gokhale. He is, or Gokhale, rather, the senior economist with the Cato Institute. Dr. Gokhale, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate your time.
Good to be with you, Amy.
Now, what is it that you are learning that we don't know about these trends that you're finding demographically for Social Security?
Well, the key thing that I find is that the Social Security Administration uses a lot of data inputs, but they track only the number of workers, or what I would call labor quantity, in making projections about future earnings and then payroll taxes and benefits and figuring out how Social Security finances are doing or would be doing or are projected for the future. I find that it's also important to keep track of labor quality. A simple example is, you know, we have a large baby boom generation who are in their highest earning and working stage of their life cycle. When they move out, they will be replaced by similarly experienced workers, but they won't be as large in number as the baby boomers. So we'll have a shortage of experienced workers in the economy relative to today and also in the future relative to the populations that would be dependent on worker productivity to generate output to be distributed to retirees, who then will be the baby boomers, and they'll again be a large cohort. So that means labor quality, one of the attributes of which is experience in the workforce, will not be as high as it is today. There are a lot of worker attributes that are associated with how productive they are. And what I've done is I've tracked how various attributes, and it's not just education, it is a whole host of worker attributes that are associated with whether workers are more productive or less productive. And in the future, if those attributes that are associated with lower worker productivity predominate, then labor quality is not going to be as high as it is today, which means apart from keeping track of labor quantity, you must also keep track of labor quality to determine how much output we'll produce and therefore how much would be available for Social Security payroll taxes and benefits, and that will affect Social Security's finances. So my work focuses on adding this dimension of labor quality to the projections.
And okay, and so if the quality seems to be different from what Social Security is assuming, and you're saying it's a little bit lower, tell us what that means for future finances for Social Security.
Well, over the next 75 years, as you can imagine, Social Security depends on receiving revenues from workers, and those revenues are paid out as benefits to Social Security benefit recipients. Retirees, dependents, survivors, and so on. Well, if labor quality declines, which means labor productivity declines, over the next 75 years, which is kind of the standard projection horizon for Social Security, we'll have less revenues coming in. On the other hand, the population of beneficiaries is going to be high, especially in the next couple of decades, or the next 3 or 4 decades, in fact, until the baby boomers are still around, which means they, apart from the projections of the the official actuaries of Social Security make, which track labor quantity, if they don't take into account the reduction in labor quality in the future, then they will be overestimating Social Security's solvency, which is they will be thinking more revenues are coming in, and that wouldn't be true. So Social Security's financial condition, I think, is worse than is being projected officially.
Yeah, it sounds like there's this X factor that people haven't really been taking into account, and it is that experience of the workforce, the education of the workforce, and these attributes that may actually lower the workforce quality.
Right, and let me give you a few more examples of attributes. Various people have propensities to work full-time. Others have propensities to work half-time.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have higher emphasize acquiring education. Others don't. The population, different segments of the population have different attributes along these dimensions, which all of which matter. In fact, Even attributes like family structure matter. If you are in a normal family, you know, two heads of the family, a husband and wife, and kids, and the kids, that family structure is well suited to transferring skills, knowledge, good habits, persistence, all of those cognitive and non-cognitive factors that make into a successful career. If you have dysfunctional families or families that are not able to educate kids or don't focus on acquiring education as much, if those type of family structures predominate in the future, then labor quality will decline. Those are all of the dimensions that I track in my work.
So it sounds like Social Security has to sharpen its pencil a little bit, and maybe it sounds like you're indicating some adjustments in public policy will be required down the line.
I think that's correct. I think I find Social Security's financial condition is not as good as it's projected officially. In fact, my imbalance in Social Security's revenues relative to projected benefits is much higher than the official projections, and therefore we need to tackle this problem urgently. And the earlier we do it, the better, because the earlier we do it, we can spread the adjustment burden. Either we'd have to increase payroll taxes, or we'd have to reduce benefit commitments. That adjustment will be spread over a larger number of people the earlier we do it, and therefore every person's burden will be smaller. If you wait, then we'll be forcing future generations to bear a larger burden.